Good morning, everyone. It's great to see you all. Thank you for your precious souls and who you are in Christ. And it's great to be at church this morning. Aren't you grateful for the sustenance of a cooler day? You know, at least we can breathe and worship God and be here together. It's wonderful to have you all here. If you're here for the first time, you are our special guest. And it's good to have my daughter all the way from Johannesburg, amen. So welcome here. And you know, you can't just welcome someone without telling the full story. So I just have to sort of break the news this morning, because and just thank you as a church for all your prayers. So Lindsay and her husband are expecting a child, amen. So amen. Please keep praying, and we're grateful for you. And God willing, he or she, I think it's a she, will be born in spring. So, amen. So that's exciting. But it's great to be here this morning. And my prayer is that you walk away with something. And we here at church, so that we can open God's word, we can learn, we can think, we can ponder, we can hold on to God's word, and that's what it's all about. And I really do pray that each person can walk away with something this morning. We are in the middle of this cycle of grace. And you'll see it up on the screen here, that if we're living life according to the right cycle, you're going to enjoy your life. With all the hardships in our life, is full of hardships. Tough times, financial strife, conflict, strife, whatever it is. But God gives us a way that he wants us to live our lives. And if we can live our lives according to the way that God wants it, that we're getting input into our lives before we're giving output out, so that we don't burn out in life. And we, in the study here of acceptance, sustenance, significance, and then your output of fruitfulness. And not looking at it the other way around, because the world operates from performance to you're significant because of your performance. That performance sustains you, and you're accepted in life because of your performance. And God turns this thing the other way around, and he says, no, I've accepted you first. And I want you to understand that and really hold to that. If you and I can just hold to that, God accepts me. And we as sinners are coming before him, and he's accepting us, that we can live in his ways. Let's pray. Father, it's wonderful to just quieten ourselves, our minds, to hear that rain falling, to feel the cool of the fans, to just be here this morning, and just the songs that we sang this morning, there's so much meaning in them. And some of them were written 170 years ago, and they got so much meaning. And a lot of those songs were written from your word. And your word was put into those songs. And Father, this morning, I pray that we are going to come to you for you to sustain us. And we're not going to go to the world for the world to sustain us. But as followers of Christ, we really want to lean into you, and so that you are sustaining our lives. Lead and guide this time, that it's fruitful for each one of us, and that it's transformative also. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And so Jesus practiced sustenance in his life. You know, Jesus himself practiced this, and he refilled himself before he poured himself out. Now, think about your life is every one of us lives in life with rhythms, not so? We go to bed at a certain time so that we can operate. And hopefully we're not going to bed at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, but we're going to bed at a respectable time and we're waking up at a respectable time in the morning. We are looking after ourselves. We're eating something. We're sustaining ourselves. We wake up in the morning. We wash our faces. We get dressed. Some of you put makeup on. You know, that's the rhythm that we live by. And you look at your dresses. Which one is going to suit the weather today? You know, and, you know, we live in this life of rhythms. And rhythms are so important. A lot of folk have approached me and said, what is more important, your personal walk with God or living in community with the saints, with God? And it's this question goes around like, what is more important? And I've been thinking about it, is what is more important, the egg or the chicken? You normally eat chicken at night, but you eat egg in the morning. And they're both good for you. Eh? But if you're not nourishing and sustaining the chicken, there won't be any egg for breakfast. And so they said they're both very, very important. But when you are leaning only on one and you're off balance, where all it is my walk with God, you're not in balance with God's word. Or all it is community and there's no walk with God, you're going to get sucked dry because you can't give to community if you're not being filled up. And so where do you and I need to go for answers with these questions that keep on floating around is we have to go to God's word for answers, and we need to imitate the life of Jesus Christ. This whole cycle that we're speaking about is that if our outputs exceed our inputs, we're going to burn out in life. And burnout is this new century's word. Fatigue, burnout. I'm giving too much of myself. I'm just melting down. And it's so important that we're going to the life of Jesus. Now think about it, is what sustains a lot of folk in this world? To be honest, is like what is sustaining a lot of folk is performance. The more you're performing in life, the more accolades you're receiving, the more you keep going with that performance, and eventually it catches up with you. What sustains a lot of folk to take the pressure away from this world is alcohol. It's been a hard week. It's Friday night. Let me go to alcohol to calm me down. And we're holding on to these things that are sustaining us. Another thing that sustains us is like you arrive back from work, you eat supper, and you go straight onto the screen. Netflix and Netflix and Netflix. Series after series after series. And that helps you to just switch off. Or social media and just holding on to that. Or if you just like had it with life, I'm just going to get into bed and I'm going to sleep this weekend. And all I need is sleep, and that's going to sustain my life. But what about thinking through sustenance is living from union with God? I'm in union with God, and I want to live out my union with God. I want to live from that space. with everything that's thrown at me in this world. I want to live by that union. I want to pray the way that Jesus prayed. I want to rest the way that Jesus rest. I want to withdraw at times the way that Jesus withdrew. I want God's grace to sustain my life. And when you and I understand God's grace, it's so beautiful. It puts a smile on our faces. It sustains us. Like, wow, God's grace. Without your grace, where would I be? Sustenance is a sort of stage where God nourishes and strengthens our souls so that we can continually live faithfully in a world that is very broken. And think about that. It's where God is strengthening and sustaining your soul, but you're opening up an area of your soul so that God can sustain it. Have you ever thought about, how did I get through that stage in life? And you're like, oh my goodness, that was hard. I lost a loved one. I lost a parent. I mourned. I was so empty inside. I just felt emotional all the time. And you think back, how did I get through that? And I believe God's Spirit, God Himself, nourishes us and sustains us and carries us even at times when your prayers don't even make sense. Even at times when you just open up the Word of God and just flick and just read a verse or two. God is doing something in you and for you that you cannot do for yourself. My first point this morning is sustenance. God nourishes our souls. God is not only calling you and I to follow Him, He continually sustains us so that we can keep walking with Him. So yes, He's calling us to follow Him, but He's sustaining us so that we can keep walking this righteous walk that He's calling us to live. You'll see up on the screen here some photographs. And when you go and plant something, and you plant a seed in good soil, it's amazing that that seed, through some miracle, starts to grow. Have you ever thought about it? It's like, wow, that was just a seed. Suddenly the seed opens, roots are there, and a stem pops out. And as long as you are sustaining that seed, that small seedling, that small plant, and you're watering it, and it's getting the right amount of sun, and you're even fertilizing it, it's going to grow into something incredible. And it's helpful to sort of put your minds into nature that God's created. Because when things are looked after the right way in nature, they flourish. When our souls are looked after the way that God intended it, our souls flourish and our souls grow. And we actually feel more at peace with life, even though circumstances may not change. Something changes inside of us and we are being transformed into the likeness of Christ. Personally, I can see this in myself. When my outputs in life are greater than my inputs, and I'm giving and I'm giving and I'm not taking care of my soul, I'm not a nice person to be around. I can have a smile on my face, but I can get short, frustrated, opinionated, proud, selfish, pressured in life. And I realize that when I'm not looking after my soul, the fruits of that aren't the fruits that God wants us to have. Let's have a look this morning at Psalm 1. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. And I love Psalm chapter 1. There's so much here on the way that God sustains us. And it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor the sinners in the assembly of the righteous. But the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And there's just so much here in the way that God wants us to imagine. And here you see this plant again. This image of a plant. And a plant that, a tree that's doing so well. It's planted by streams of water. It's being nourished day and night. And the result is it bears fruit at the right time. And it's so beautiful because it's being nourished the way that God wants it to be nourished. The fruit comes because the tree has been sustained. And it's been sustained by the water, that those streams of water that God flows into our lives. Think about the words that are used here. And let's read it again. In verse 2, but those who delight in the law of the Lord. That word is quite amazing. Those who delight in God's word. I delight in God's word. I can't wait to hear God's word. I can't wait to just read God's word. I can't wait to hold on to God's word. I can't wait to hear the message that God's got for me because of his word. I can't wait to receive God's word. And the psalmist is speaking in this language of like delight. On a hot day, what are you delightful? A glass of water, but not just a glass of water, but with ice in. And you knock it back and you want more ice, water, and you delight and it quenches their thirst. And it says here that the psalmist meditates on this word day and night. I was on a course last night and the course was on meditation. And here it's speaking about not Eastern meditation. Eastern meditation is where it's about you and how is this going to change you and you emptying yourself out. Spiritual meditation is all about God and it's all about God's word and how God's word is going to fill you up. And that's what it's speaking about here. This person, this tree is meditating day and night. Have you ever woken up at times where a scripture is being recited in your mind before your eyes even wake up? And where does that come from? It's trained behavior. Were you meditating on God's word? We heard this morning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And when you're meditating on scripture, the scriptures are talking back to you. The Lord is my shepherd. No one else is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Right now, in God's lens, I lack nothing because he's given everything that I need. And it's meditating, it's holding the word of God close to your heart. And thinking about scriptures day and night. Because you see, when you're meditating, you're listening. You're receiving. You're tuned in. The Holy Spirit is working in your life. When you're meditating on scripture, the scriptures you're meditating on turn into prayer. And you're praying about it. And you're praying about what you're lacking, that only God can fill that. When you're meditating, you're also in a zone of silence, solitude, discernment about life. It's when God is watering our soul, our souls. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. And that's what God wants from our lives. It's so beautiful. And that's what we're striving for. It's like, God, help me to live this life where I am holding on to you. And he compares it to the wicked. But the wicked are all over the place. It's like that maize and the chaff. When the wind comes, it blows all over. Their lives on the left and the right and going straight, they're all over the place. But those that hold on to God's word are like these streams planted by streams of living water that can only come from Jesus. Imagine, as a Christian, all you're doing is being fed on the Sunday sermon. That's like eating one meal in a week. And you're not going to grow. And it's not going to transform you. And that's why we need that sustenance, and that we're holding on to it, and we've got daily nourishment into our lives through scripture, through prayer, through worship, through silence, through community, through the presence of God and His Spirit. All of these things are so integrated, and that is God's sustaining stream that He speaks about in the Word of God, that we are holding on to it. And to make it personal, is what is nourishing your soul right now? Are you spiritually well fed or spiritually malnourished? And you're getting so stretched. And we have to stop in life. It's like, exactly, God, where am I at? Take a check on your life. It's like, God, I need this help here. Actually, my soul is malnourished. It's not like what you're speaking about in Psalm 1 here. I want to change that, and that vulnerability with each other in community and vulnerability with God Himself, that's where awareness is, and it can be transformed. My second point this morning is Jesus practiced rhythms of sustenance. That was his lifestyle. And one of the most powerful truths in the Gospels of Christ is that Jesus constantly sustained his soul. And if you're reading God's word through that lens, you will see that he constantly sustained his soul. Yes, he was the Son of Man, but he was also human, with weaknesses, with strengths, with emotions, but without sin. But he constantly sustained his soul. In Mark 1:35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." The context of this is that the day before, he was healing many. He was giving output. He was giving of his life. The context of this is that crowds were searching for him, looking for him. Where is that man that we can gain life from, where we can get food from, where we can be healed? His ministry was starting to explode. And if the ministry is starting to explode, what do you do with your life? Well, there's not much time to go and pray. I need to be in the ministry. And that was not the mindset of Jesus. He got up very early in the morning. While it was still quiet, he actually left his home. He went to a place that was quiet, where he could receive, where he could listen, where he could pray to his Father, and where he could quote scriptures, where he could speak about his fears, where he could speak about his fatigue, and he was replenished. In Luke 5, verse 15 and 16, "Yet the news about him spread all the more." His ministry was growing. His ministry was blossoming here. So that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. There's a word that stands out here, and that word is often. That was a rhythm that he lived by. The writer here could have easily said, but Jesus withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And that may have been once or twice. But here the writer is saying, this was his rhythm, this was his lifestyle. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The busier Jesus became, the more he withdrew. Wow. The busier we become, the less we withdraw. So as Christians, if we are to become more like Jesus, the busier we become, the more we need to withdraw, so that we can live this lifestyle that Jesus is calling us to live. The busier your workplace becomes, the more responsibilities that you get, the more successes that you have, the more you need to withdraw to pray and be sustained and linked with Jesus himself. And that's challenging in the world that we live in. It's very challenging. And that takes a lot, where it's like, whoa. Where someone at work may be like, well, where are you going? Well, I'm going to take between 12 and 1 o'clock off. I just need to jump in my car, go for a drive. And to be honest, I'm going to go and pray, so that I can be effective at the workplace. And I can hear from Jesus more and more in my life. Busy weekend, family, loved ones, grandchildren around. Where are you going? Just give me 30 minutes. I need a withdrawal to be with God to pray, so that I'm sustaining my soul. In Mark 6:31, come away with me and rest a while. And he even encouraged his loved ones and those that were in his inner circle that he was raising up to come away with him and rest and pray and get sustenance for his soul. And this is what it is to take control of our schedules, that we want to sustain our walk with Christ. If you think about a cell phone, no one apologizes for charging their cell phone. Do you even have to find a schedule to charge your cell phone? It's sort of almost like so inbred into us. It's like, oh, it's 10%. I have to go and charge my cell phone. We never just sort of ignore that. Yet we apologize or even feel embarrassed for charging our souls. Like it's sort of a bit embarrassing that you have to recharge your soul. You cannot run your cell phone on yesterday's battery power. And you cannot run your soul on last year's spiritual life. It's current. It's now. It's where you're at. And it's charging that up. Jesus refused to have a low spiritual battery here. He refused. And he says there's a certain rhythm that I live by. And his rhythm was retreating and being back in the crowd. Retreating with his Father and being back in the crowd so that he could accomplish so much. Our third point this morning is sustenance protects us from burnout. And you'll see here a photograph of, we can be like this at times spiritually, where our heads are just down and you're depleted, you've finished, you wasted, you're parched land, craving for water. Your lamp, they're going out slowly and slowly, that your fire wasn't like it used to be. If we're not sustaining ourselves, we're going to burn out. And you may not be around spiritually in a year's time. Many Christians are experiencing fatigue because they live on output without spiritual input. And they're living in this hype of this is who I am in Christ, but not that spiritual input that's going to sustain our lives. And God's word continuously points us towards that God is sustaining us if we allow God's word to sustain us. In Isaiah 40 verse 31, actually this is my scripture for Tuesday morning. There are a couple of us that lead churches in this area. And we meet once a month to meditate on God's word. To meditate on God's word. And this week is Isaiah 40 verse 31. And I've got folk from Zimbabwe and Zambia and PE. And we sit and we each have a chance to put a scripture forwards and meditate on that scripture. And I love this scripture because it says, but those who hope in the Lord, and each one of us hopes in the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. And it goes on and it speaks about even the youth get weary and stumble and fall. But those who live like this will be renewed from within. and we can soar like an eagle. We can be provided with a fresh energy that is coming from God Himself as we lean on God more and more. Our spiritual practices that we practice on our own and in church are so important for sustaining our souls. They're so important. And I want to encourage you to meditate on God's word. Hold on to scripture and meditate and chew on it and receive from God. And He will renew you and He will strengthen you. In John 15, where it speaks about the vine, it says, "Remain in me and I also will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself." And you can only bear the fruit that God wants you to bear is by remaining in the vine and staying in the vine and not being outside of the vine. And the more you're in the vine is going to nourish you from the roots. And that we are all branches, but we link to the vine, and that nourishes us and it grows us. To be fruitful is dependent on remaining connected. And then our lives will be fruitful. Imagine if our lives are fruitful like the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and self-control. All these beautiful things. That fruit is oozing out of our lives only because we are being sustained by God. And that God is renewing us, and that is automatically going into others' lives and into the world. In the ancient times, an oil lamp had to be constantly refilled so that there could be that light, that twicker of light. And it has to be constantly refilled. When the oil runs out, the light starts to fade. The flame is no longer there. And it's so similar to our spiritual life. Is that our light will start to fade if we're not sustaining ourselves. Christianity is not about this big hype. And all these emotions and hype, and you know, it's about sustaining yourself so that you can bring glory to God and allowing God to sustain you too and refill you up. And that's what it's about. It's just helping that. And if we can build a church like that, where we're living by the cycle of grace, where yes, you are accepted. No, but I don't feel accepted. You are accepted by God. Get this, you are accepted. He loves you. He's crazy about you. Crazy about me? Yes, He's crazy about you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to live this life. Allow Him to sustain you and transform you, and so that you can live out of righteousness for Him. And that's sort of what I wanted to share with you this morning. Now, I'm just thinking about, I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed. And we're all living not in the same stage of life. So if you're living in a stage of life where you've got a young child, that's a tough stage to be in. It's the most exciting stage to be in. But whoa. How do we get sustained? Linz, you're going to be going through this. So listen up carefully. You know? And that's why God created marriage, so that you can be there for each other. And you have to put up your hand. Babe, I need 10 minutes off now to go outside and spend time with God. Just 10 minutes. I'm going to go and read a scripture. I'm going to hold on to that scripture. I'm going to repeat that scripture. I'm going to allow Jesus to fill me up within, but I need to be sustained. Or, you know what, can I take a drive with the child in the car seat and I'm going to just go and drive and play Christian music and just drive around and just sing to God and recite scripture and pray to God. That's sustaining your soul. But when we're not thinking practically, and it's just exhaustion upon exhaustion and fatigue upon fatigue, cracks will be formed. And that's what Satan wants in our lives. So we need to be there for each other. And as a church, we hear for each other. If you know of someone who's just had a child, maybe somehow get involved in their lives so that you can look after their child and they can spend time with God so that their souls can also be sustained. And I really honestly believe that if we're living the way that God wants us to live and in a cycle of grace and not a cycle of works, what we spoke about this morning is that God nourishes our souls. Jesus himself practiced rhythms of being sustained, and that's the way that he lived his life. And being sustained spiritually protects us from burnout. It's going to protect us. And if we hear for one another like that, and we're really involved in each other's lives, wow, the church is going to be this light shining out as Jesus and as God himself renews our souls and pushes input into us and fuels us up. And that's the life that we all want to live as we're trying to live for Jesus and for one another. Amen. So what are you going to walk away with? I'll leave that on your hearts. But remember, in the last few weeks, it was acceptance, acceptance, acceptance. And just seeing the heart of God in that. Last Sunday, we looked at the prodigal son and God's heart of acceptance. Today was about sustaining our lives for Christ. Let's go to God and